May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to talk about the two parables from Mark chapter 4 today. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God. Oh, gracious God, plant the seed of Your Word in our hearts and cause it to grow. You promise that Your Word will never return to You empty, but will accomplish what You desire. We pray, accomplish in us great things with Your Word this day and always. Increase faith and knowledge and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what happens at First Lutheran Church? What really goes on here? That's the question. There are lots of answers to that question of what happens in the church. You could certainly say, well, what happens? We sing, we pray, we hear God's word, we eat and drink soon, we confess our sins, confess the faith, give an offering, we serve, we help, we smile, we shake hands, we hug each other, try to help each other. And, of course, also we do a lot of sinning here at First Lutheran. And I pray we do a lot of forgiving of those sins. God forgives, we forgive each other. All those things, you might say, what happens at First Lutheran? All that stuff happens. In these two parables, Jesus lays out three things that happen in the kingdom. And the kingdom basically is the church, where Jesus reigns. We are the kingdom of God, where He reigns through His word in the hearts of people. And when you're in the church in the kingdom, there are three things that are always going on. Two of them going on, one will come soon. In the church, there is sowing, and then there's growing, and then there's mowing. That's what happens. That's what it's all about. There's sowing, there's growing, one day there'll be mowing. It's all right here in these parables. First of all, what happens here? There's lots and lots of sowing. We sow and we sow and we sow the seed and sow the seed. Jesus tells a lot of parables. They often begin, not all of them, but many of them begin with a man sowing a seed, a farmer. He likes farmers. He likes farming illustrations. Part of the agriculture back then was a big thing, and today too, certainly. But both parables begin with this man sowing seed. That's what happens in the church. We sow the seed. That's easy application. The seed is Christ. The seed is Jesus, the gospel. The seed is His birth, His perfect life, His death, His resurrection, and forgiveness of sins and salvation in His name. Jesus is the seed in summary. And the sowing of the seed is obviously the teaching, the preaching, and the teaching, and the preaching and teaching of Jesus. And that must happen in the kingdom over and over and over again. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have a school here. That's why we have Sunday school. And moms and dads, this is your job too. It's not just the pastor and the teachers. You are given the God-given responsibility on Father's Day and every other day, dad and mom, to teach the children Jesus. Plant it in their hearts over and over again. Because after all, you spend a whole lot more time with your kids than I do. Or your teacher does. That's the sowing of the seed. Some things on sowing the seed. First of all, in these two parables, does the farmer actually plant the seed? Does he get up out of the lazy boy from watching the U.S. Open today? Does he get up and does he actually go out into the field where there's flies and bugs and it's dirty and go out and plant the seed? Yes. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just think about it. He doesn't call meetings to talk about it and plan to do it. But he actually gets up and makes the effort, and planting seeds is an effort. He actually plants the seed. And my point is that in the church, sometimes we talk a lot about planting seeds. We have meetings about it, and we talk about it some more, and we plan to do it. We're going to really sow the seed. We're going to tell people about Jesus, but we never get around to doing it. We just sit in a lazy boy and watch the U.S. Open golf today, which is an okay thing to do on Father's Day after you've been in church. Lots of talk, little action. Secondly, does a farmer plant two seeds or thousands of seeds? He plants a lot of seeds, a farmer. You won't find a farmer who says, I'm going to plant one seed and then I'm done. Oh, that was easy work. It took me 2 seconds to plant a seed. He's out there working the ground and sowing lots and lots of seeds all over his land, all over his acreage. Hundreds and thousands of seeds. It's work. And so the church is called to plant, to teach and teach Jesus all over the world. Not just every now and then, Not just once in a while, but that's our whole job, to teach and preach Jesus Christ all over the place to everybody, in the home, in the workplace, at the soccer field, wherever I'm at, I'm a witness for Jesus. Not just a couple times a year. Sowing the seed. Third thing, make sure you plant the seed and not a rock. All right, Pat, I'm not a farmer, but do rocks grow in the ground? I don't think so. But a lot of parents and some churches, they only get around to planting rocks and it never grows. By rocks, I mean just teaching some good morals and values to your children. Teaching the law to your kids. The law came on 2 stone tablets. If you plant stone in the ground, rocks in the ground, does it grow? It doesn't grow. Now we need the law to work the ground, to knock up the hard ground so that we can plant the seed. But the law doesn't cause anybody to grow. So you got to do more than just teach the law and teach the commandments and teach good morals and values. That just leads to hell because no one keeps it. And there nothing grows. The seed is the gospel of Jesus. We must teach and teach Jesus. He has to be a common name in the home. Not someone we just mention every now and then. We must speak and speak of forgiveness for sin. It must not be a rare thing to talk about forgiveness. It has to just flow throughout our homes and church. We forgive as God forgives. There's love. We must talk of the cross. The crosses have to be all over our church, all over our house and our church. To speak of the cross and talk of the cross and talk of the cross and the resurrection. These aren't extra things we get around to. These are common things that we do all over the place in the church and home, wherever. It's the seed of Jesus that causes growth, not the rock of the gospel. And then a final thing before I move on. To plant the seed or seeds, you have to have seeds. Common sense. If a farmer doesn't have seeds, how does he plant any? Mom and dad and teachers and everybody else, if we're going to teach of Jesus, we got to know Jesus ourselves. If we don't know the Bible ourselves and know about Jesus, how are we ever going to pass it on? This then is the call for the farmer to go gather seeds himself, which is to go to Bible study and go to church and learn the Word of God and read it on your own. I think this is generally true, that if a mother alone goes to church without dad, just mom goes, but the father never goes, the father stays home, the children roughly have a 1 in 3 chance of staying in the church. But if the father goes to church, and maybe not even if mom goes, just the dad goes to church regularly, the children have a 2 in 3 chance of going to church when they're older. That's the influence of a father. Dads, that's the influence of a father upon children in spiritual things and in all things. Secondly, besides sowing, there's growing. And that's a big part of these two parables. The growth of the plants, and it's miraculous and it's marvelous and it just happens, doesn't it? And it's incredible how a little bitty tiny seed, the mustard seed, the smallest seed, grows in this huge plant a while. And we take it for granted. It happens all over the place. It happens. But what a miracle. What a great miracle. And we immediately think of the smallness of God's kingdom in the beginning. With Jesus being conceived in Mary's womb. Didn't look like much. And then the manger. Little bitty seed lying in the manger. What's going to come of Jesus? And then he's planted in the ground on Good Friday. What's going to happen to him? He's just planted in the ground. He's dead. And on Easter, he rises. And the last 2,000 years, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the vine and the branches have grown and grown and grown. All the millions of Christians, the billions of Christians, the billions and billions of Christians the last 2,000 years, as the vine and the branches grow, the plant grows and grows. And here's the import of the entire parables. It all happens by the power of who? The power of God. And that's really the most important thing in these two parables. All the farmer can do is sow the seed, and then it says he just sleeps and goes to bed at night. It grows, he didn't know how. You might scientifically be able to explain how it grows, but how does it really grow? No one knows. It just grows. We all know how it grows. How does it grow? By the power of God. God, the Holy Spirit, that's where he's in the text here this Pentecost season. He makes it grow. It's all his work. And so these parables give great confidence to Pastor Busher and Pastor Couch, too, doesn't Pastor Schultz, and to school teachers and Sunday school teachers and the moms and dads as we teach of Jesus
Teach of Jesus and then don't sweat it. Go to bed at night. Sleep well. Don't worry about that. God will make it grow. Just pray. What does a farmer do after he sows a seed? He prays a lot. He wants the pastor to pray in church. Pray for rain. Pray that God send the rains. God will bring the produce. He can't really do anything about it anymore. It's God's work now. God must give the increase. He just prays. Sleep well. When I leave church on Sunday, I never worry about a thing. I do have the worry to make sure I preach Jesus and give you Jesus. That's my burden. Make sure I give you Jesus and plant the seed. After that, I don't sweat it. I don't lose sleep at night with this job. Believe it or not, I don't. It's a wonderful job. I'm a farmer. God will give the growth according to His will. I let Him grow as He grows. Sometimes you see the growth. Sometimes it might happen with three pastors down the road in 100 years. He'll make it happen. He's God. Just as He makes the mustard seed grow, He'll make the church grow and create Christians. Don't sweat it. Am I growing or dying? Am I growing like the plant or dying? How's a plant grow? Well, a plant needs water. A plant needs sunlight. A plant needs good nutrients in the soil to dig its roots down. I know that. And so the Christian grows not just by sitting at home doing nothing. We need water. It's called the water of our baptism. It's called the water of absolution. You got the water today when you're absolved of your sins. That's your baptism coming over you again to help you grow and stay strong. The sunlight's the Word of God that shines on the church. We teach and preach the Word of God. It's the sunlight. The nutrients, the body and blood of Christ, is our spiritual food to strengthen us. So come get it. You know, my daughter Abby and I were at McDonald's the other day, and we went through the drive-thru. And right there where you pick up your food at the drive-thru, this is up at the Fountain City McDonald's, right there where you pick up your food was a duck. A stray duck, I guess, from the duck pond up there. And this duck would not move. It was eating a French fry, I think. And we drove real, real close to this duck, and Abby's like, "Don't run over the duck, Dad. That's a duck." And I said, "Well, I have some duck McNuggets. Come on, Abby. It's okay." I didn't run over the duck. But he just quacked at me. This is a little bitty duck, and I'm in a big, huge van, a big, huge guy. And he just quack, quack, quack. He's mad. "Get out of here. I want to eat my French fry." And Abby had to get out of the van and kind of shoo it away nicely. And then we got our food, and the duck was still quacking us and came back and ate some more. A French fry. Lying in the dirt and grease at McDonald's. And that duck's smarter than a lot of people. It wants to eat. And it'll eat. And I'll chase away anything that would prevent me from eating. And where's the hunger of the Word of God? The hunger for the sacrament of God's people. I will chase away everything that I might come and partake of the Word of God and the sacrament. All of hell won't stop me. Because I'm going to eat. It's a whole lot better than a French fry. Animals are often smarter than us. They eat. And they won't let anything stop them. But Christians, well, I'll get it next time. And we wonder why there's not growth. And finally, then, there's the mowing of the church. Sowing, growing, and then there's mowing. This is the harvest. And the first parable tells us that clearly. He will, when it's all ready, the plant is ready, he'll bring a sickle and the harvest will happen. The mowing of the church will put into the great luxurious barn called heaven. We're the plant, the branches. He will indeed take us to heaven. That's the harvest. And that's the end, that's the climax. That's the whole reason for sowing and growing. The whole point of all of that is not just to look at a plant and see how pretty it is. The whole point of all of it is that the harvest. You're taken to heaven. That's the whole point of all this, that we go to heaven. That's the second reading where we're going to be clothed anew with glory. When I was growing up, we had a garden at our home in Indiana. And my mom and dad liked to plant tomatoes. And I like tomatoes. And, of course, we would pick the tomatoes and would get most of them. But occasionally, as you know, gardening, you would miss a tomato. And that tomato would get really old and rotten, wouldn't it? Really squishy and juicy and rotten. You couldn't really eat it. So what did the Busher boys do with the old rotted tomatoes? Well, you've heard of snowball fights in the wintertime. We'd throw them around, smash them, hit each other, these old tomatoes. If you were that tomato, though, what would that tomato say if it could speak? That old rotten tomato smashed would say, "Why did you ever grow me? Why did you plant the seed? Why did you let me grow if my end is to be old and rotten and smashed? Why? Does a farmer just allow his crop to get old and die out in the field? Ah, it's great. No, he doesn't. He harvests it. You guys have a garden. Why do you have a garden? Let your fruit get old and die out there? For food. You want to harvest it. And so our God in his love does not plant the seed in our hearts and give us faith and water us and nourish us and keep us in the faith so that we go to hell and be smashed. He's going to take us to heaven. As Paul says, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. The harvest is coming. So these two parables give us great, great faith and comfort for this time right now to sow the seed. God will make it grow. So keep sowing and keep sowing. Have confidence that God will do it. Then it gives us great hope for the future. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be in paradise. What happens at First Lutheran? What happens in the church? There's sowing, there's growing, and one day there will be mowing. May God grant it all. After all, we belong to Him. It's His garden. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with